please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 of Luke, beginning with verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. And both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. So everything you could see from the outside, it would appear that being able to bring children in the world was not something that these two were going to be blessed with. And some people might look at them and say, "What's wrong with you? You're godly people and you're not having kids. That means there must be something wrong with you." But they knew in their heart of hearts that there wasn't anything wrong with them. They were sincerely living their lives in a way to honor God. And God had not chosen to bless them with children. Now, it is probably something that they prayed about a lot, but it is not something that the Lord had chosen to do. And you know, there's some things in life we may like to have that we wish were a certain way. And we can talk to God about our wishes. And sometimes he surprises us, and sometimes he doesn't. I mean, he's still God, and it's okay to talk with him about things. I remember very clearly my father, when he had cancer. I wished God would have healed my dad. My father wished that he would be healed. He prayed about it. I prayed about it. I remember we went to a church service one time, and the pastor was up, and he had been talking about things, and we felt moved, and at the end they had an altar call, and I was there with my dad, and me and him went down to an altar, and we prayed together. And I was praying, and I had, I think, my fingers crossed at the same time, because I would have loved to have seen the Lord heal my dad. But that wasn't what the Lord chose to do. It's hard to understand how the Lord operates on things. And I'm wondering with Zechariah and Elizabeth, there's probably times where they knelt down in their home when no one was around, and other people probably didn't know what this meant to them. But God knew, because he heard their prayers. And up to this point, he had not chosen to give them any children, and it appeared that they were too old. Verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Now, they had a table of incense, and a lot of people don't realize this, but there weren't any chairs in the temple, because the temple was a place that they believed that's where the Lord dwelt. And so, like in our church, it's a place where the believers come to sing and worship. The temple wasn't like that. The place where the believers come would be in the outer courts. You never went inside. I mean, if you were a Jewish person back then, you could live your whole life and never see inside or step foot in the temple. And you could be one of the priests and maybe never get the opportunity to go inside and do anything. Now, when it would be your rotation and you would be on, there would be certain jobs that you might get an opportunity to do, and one of the ones was adding incense and lighting incense on the incense altar in the temple. And it says they drew lots. And when you think about what it means to draw lots, I'd like to imagine, have you ever done anything before where you had to make a decision, and maybe you took matchsticks and you broke one of them in half, and then you arranged all the matchsticks and you told everybody choose one, and whoever got the short matchstick, they're the ones that would be chosen. So drawing lots was something very similar to that. And Zechariah, guess what? Hey, I get the lot. I'm the one who gets to go in to add incense and light incense in the temple. Verse 10. And when the time for burning incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Now, let's just think for just a moment about what is going on in Zechariah's mind. I'm imagining that he's nervous, and he's probably done a lot of praying about it. I was talking to Evenor this morning, and first thing I'm asking him about his goatee he's got, and immediately he shifts the conversation to saying, oh, I'm going to have to stand up in front of the church and read something at the opening. And obviously, what was on his mind is, I'm going to have to stand in front of everybody and read this thing. You know? And isn't that how it often is? The thing that we're responsible for is the thing that's on our mind. Like, no matter what happens, I know that Dave and Deb are thinking in their mind about all the details about making tonight work. That's what they're thinking about, because they just want everything to look nice and be nice, and they're got all those details in their head. I know when Jenny came in here, Jenny would be thinking about how she was playing the guitar on the pieces we did. And I know that if she played something wrong for one of those songs in the church, that would be sticking in her mind. She'd be like, oh. So on that day, Zechariah is thinking, oh gosh, I'm the one who gets to go in that building. He's probably thinking, I've never opened the door before, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go in by myself. Oh my gosh. I'm imagining it's going to be wonderful, awesome, terrible, sort of frightening, sort of wonderful, all at the same time. And he knows that this is probably going to be the only time in his life he gets to do it. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if in his heart of hearts, if there's like one thing, if you could pray this one prayer, I mean, you are going to be sort of as close to God as you could ever be. I mean, if you're going to pray a big one, you want to be all ready. This is your opportunity. So he goes in. He's got to do his incense. But God knows what's on his heart. He thinks he's in the room all by himself, but boom, it's not like that. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Gripped with fear. That just means that everything inside you is like, Your brain is like trying to comprehend what's going on. What should I do? Should I run? Oh my gosh, I'm not prepared for this. When Zechariah saw me, he was startled and gripped with fear, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." And I tell you, right now, it's not going to tell you. I mean, it'd be nice if we had Zechariah here and we could ask him a bunch of questions. But I have a feeling the whole thing of me and Elizabeth have walked with you all of our lives and we never was able to have a child, and now it looks like maybe we're too old. I'm imagining that that was what was on his heart. And the Lord had heard it. And the Lord sent the angel. He says, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you are to give him the name John. Wow. He's going to get a son. That's great. Girls are great. Boys are great. Boys have kind of an extra wonderful greatness about it because in most families, the women raise the girls and the men raise the boys. You know? I was all prepared for my first child to be a girl. And I don't have that much of... I thought this was going to be a real hard thing for me. It's like I was going to have to play dolls. And we were going to have to read books about girl stuff. And we didn't know what gender our first child was going to be. And so I was so afraid that I was going to be the world's worst father to a little girl that I spent 9 months being prepared for a little girl to come because I was like, it's not going to work for me. And so people would say, oh, it's going to be a boy. Oh, it's going to be a girl. In my heart, it's like, it's going to be a girl. And I'm ready for her. I'm ready to help her do her hair. And I'm ready for playing dolls and tea parties. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. And Grisham wasn't a girl. And then when Jenny came along, I found out that you can turn him into a tomboy, and that's still fine. She's got a mother to do the girl stuff. It was fine. But the Lord gave him a boy. Exciting stuff. So he prayed. His prayer was heard. His response to this wonderful promise is, are you ready? A trash truck of doubt and disbelief. Watch what happens. As soon as he goes in and he finds out, hey, God heard my prayer. God's going to give me this. What is his response? The first words that come out of his mouth are like, it can't be. We're well along in years. This is an impossibility. It's like, Zechariah, you are in the temple. This is an angel that is talking to you. He's been sent from God. If there's ever a time that you need to be quiet and believe, it's now. But out comes all the disappointment. Out comes all the doubt. He just dumps it out. Not good. In fact, let's look at that. Zechariah said to the angel, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife is old, too. Hence, I get such a kick out of this. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, you will be silent. You will not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. So, he couldn't speak. I don't know if his tongue was paralyzed or his lips were paralyzed. I was watching that Star Wars movie. It was just last night, and when old Jar Jar Binks got his tongue in that thing, and all of a sudden, you guys think of fucking the engine of it. And it's like, don't fly it, my feet are fucking here, but he couldn't speak. But Zechariah couldn't talk at all. In fact, I want to show you something I've never seen before in my life. You ready for this one? Look at verse 62. Well, 61 and 62. They had the whole question. It says, why are you going to name him John? Name him Zechariah after his father. It says, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Verse 62. Then they made signs to his father to find out what would like to name the child. You don't make signs to a person who can hear, do you? You make signs to a person that's deaf. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that Zechariah couldn't hear anything. And he couldn't say anything. He could just smile and read and write. Deaf and unable to speak. That's what I'm getting the picture of. And he has 9 months to think about things. 9 months for Mr. Smarty Pants, priestly family guy, to think about how he handled that situation with the angel. God sends an angel to talk to him, and what does he get? A whole bunch of doubt. Whole bunch of excuses. Whole bunch of disbelief. And by the way, he wasn't just going to get just a son. He was going to get the opportunity to be the father of a man who will shake his nation for the good. Look at verses 16 and 17. It says, many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit, in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This baby that's going to be born, this baby that really hasn't even happened yet, he's going to go home, and boom, Elizabeth's going to get pregnant. And this kid that's going to come of this is going to be somebody who's going to change his whole nation. His kid's going to do things that he as a man never got to do. And he's going to affect more people than his life was like nothing compared to what John the Baptist is going to do. And he gets to be his dad. He gets to prepare that kid for that. And parents, that is an exciting thing. You know, the truth is that your kids are going to do things that you never even imagined before. You know, there's so much potential in them, and you just don't know. And you know, I honestly believe as parents that we always need to hold on to this idea that we are raising those kids for him. They belong to him before they belong to you. And we just need to parent them in such a way that they are prepared to do great things for God, whatever that may be. And Zechariah was going to get the privilege to be a dad. And this boy was going to do huge things. And now he's got 9 months to think about things. Now, the angel didn't say that you are going to be deaf and dumb for the rest of your life. He says, you are going to have to be in a timeout, so to say, until this happens that I've told you is going to happen. All you can do is look. I guess you can write I love you on a tablet. He could hold Elizabeth close. He could smell her hair. He could be with her. But women talk more than men. And she's got all these things she needs to say. And as a good husband, he knows he needs to be a good listener. And he can't be a good listener. Elizabeth's probably going to be frustrated as all get out, because it's like, what use are you? You're no help around the house. You're a lousy companion. I guess he could write on the chalkboard, this isn't supposed to go on forever. But if Elizabeth is anything like Tammy, she's going to be quick to remind him, you know the reason why you're like this now, don't you? And he's like, so she gets the thing out and she writes in capital letters, "This is your fault." Exclamation mark, underlined, tap, 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 tap with the chalk. And then she goes in the other room. And you're like, oh. You go running after her with the chalkboard, trying to think what you're going to write. And it doesn't matter. You can't write fast enough because you can see her lips. They go, and you're like, you're stuck. Verse 64, he had 9 months and 8 days to think about what he was going to say. That's a long time. It's going by. They made signs to the father to find out that what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately, boom, his mouth was open. And I'm just telling you from these other things, his ears came turned on at the same time. And you can just imagine what a beautiful moment that was. When all of a sudden, it's like you could hear and you could, you'd be quiet enough. And like even in here, it's like if we're quiet enough, you can hear cars driving down, or you can hear the wind blowing because you can kind of hear it in the roof a little bit. And you can even hear the person's belly growling in the seat next to yours. And all those things have been gone, and now they're back. And he began to speak, praising God. So first things, they're coming up. The last things he got to say before the angel shut him up was a whole bunch of doubt and excuses. And as soon as God says, "I'm going to do this for you," he's like, "Oh, this is impossible. I'm too old. She's too old. Blah, 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 blah." Boom. Guess what? You can't speak. And now, mouth is going to be turned on. And the first words out of his mouth are praise. So 9 months and 8 days is what he needed to learn his lesson. And out is coming praise. The neighbors were all filled with awe throughout the whole hill country of Judea. And people were talking about these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. And I'm telling you right now, can you just imagine if this guy was one of your buddies and he went through this and then all of a sudden, boom, ears and mouth turned back on and you're going to want to hear what he has to say. And we have his words. He had 9 months, 8 days to think about it. Verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. And a horn on an animal is something that is its strength, it is its weapon, it's its defense, it's an important thing. So to refer to something as a horn of salvation, it is the point where the power is. And truly, the point where the power is when it comes to us is the Lord Jesus Christ and him raised up. That's why our church has a cross up on top. We're lifting up and we're remembering what Jesus did for us. The horn of salvation. Verse 70. And as he said through his prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy on our fathers and to remember his holy covenant that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. And truly, John was the last prophet. And he will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him. And he did prepare the way by doing just exactly what the angel said that he was going to do, by turning the hearts of the people back to God. Many of the people of Israel, he will bring back to the Lord their God. And remember, Peter was a follower of John the Baptist before Peter was a follower of Jesus. John was a follower of John the Baptist before John was a follower of Jesus. Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist before Andrew was a follower of Jesus. He had gone and he had prepared the way. prepared the way of the Lord. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You'll go on before the Lord and prepare the way for Him and to give His people a knowledge of salvation. And He called on the people to turn from their sins and to turn with God. And you know, if I could have one word to describe it, I would use the word earnest. For when somebody is earnest in wanting to serve the Lord, in wanting to put God first in their life, and is willing to put everything else in the back, and put that quest to serve God, make that the first thing, that's what John the Baptist was preaching. And not that different than what we preach today. We call on people to put Jesus first, and to, with all of our hearts, to serve Him, to give His people a knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the paths of peace. I love this. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And you know, we get used by the Lord today to shine on people living in darkness. I was thinking about that this morning during the pastoral prayer. I'm like, Lord, put us in the midst of the dysfunctional people to shine a ray of hope. Put us in the midst of the atheist to preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us to the messed up ones. Take us to the crazy situations and help us to have faith and love and to shine the light of Christ in those situations. Praise the Lord, huh? That's why He saved us. Not so we can hide out in the church and just keep encouraging each other. Oh, we're going to make it one more day. Forget that. Take us into the dark places. Help us to have hope that God can get a hold of lives and He can still change people. He can take people that are bad, are doing bad, are heading bad, and are hurting people, and He can wake them up. And He's still in the business of making new creations. And we need to look at everybody with the eyes of Christ, understanding that what we're seeing with our eyes isn't the end of the story. Holding on to the truth that God is God, and we're a part of what He's doing. We are His messengers of reconciliation, as though He Himself was speaking through us. Well, as we close, let me think about old Zechariah. He got to learn a lot of lessons about God, who can do things that maybe you would think are impossible. Zechariah was praying, but in his heart of hearts, he did think it would be impossible for him and his wife to have a baby. But God had other plans, because God isn't limited like we are. He's God. And God knew just what Zechariah needed. Zechariah needed 9 months to think about things. And it wasn't a curse. I believe that time was a blessing. Because, you know, as soon as he got to speak, he got to begin his work as a dad. Because John the Baptist was going to get his training not at some unique prep school. He was going to get trained in what it means to be a man, what it means to be a man of God, by Zechariah. And there's a very real sense in which this promise that many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God would be accomplished by John, who was prepared by Zechariah. God was at work all the time. And you know, he's in work with all of us, too. He's got big plans. He's got stuff he wants to do around us, in people, greater than we could ever imagine. We just need to trust him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we would not be a people that would be guilty of praying wimpy prayers. I pray that our hopes would not be small, and our dreams would be curtailed. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that the way we look at things would be built upon a great faith in you. By your word, the Red Sea was divided and your people walked through. By your word, Lazarus was raised from the dead. By your word, this world was created. By your word, whatever you declare can happen. So help us to be people of great faith. Maybe, Lord, this Christmas season would be one where we could go and we could be faithful and bring truth and light and hope into situations where there is none. And what an honor it would be. Help us to trust you. Thank you that we can walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.